So let's review. The Gemara in the previous daf discussed the Mishnah statement, Loi le'ish chazaka b'nechse ishtai. If a husband ate all the produce of his wife's field for 3 years, this is not a proof that he bought the field from her, because as the Gemara earlier explains, ein ishtai makpedes im yechel ha'perish lo'i kedin. A wife generally does not object to her husband eating her produce, even those that he's not entitled to. The Gemara, however, points out that the Mishnah's wording implies, Loi le'ish chazaka haraya yesh. That only a chazaka is not proof of ownership, but a shtar, a sale document, is valid proof that his wife sold him her field. And the Gemara asks, why is a shtar valid proof of ownership? The wife can claim she only agreed to it to please her husband, but in reality she did not agree to the sale. As we find this reasoning in the Mishnah Masechtas Gittin. If a person bought a field that was designated for her ksuba from the husband, and afterward he bought it from the wife, the sale is not effective to remove her lien from this field. Apparently because the amr nachas ruha sisi labayli. The wife claims that she only agreed to it to please her husband, but in reality she did not agree to the sale. If so, here too, tema nachas ruha sisi labayli. The Gemara answers that it all depends on what kind of field was sold. As follows. Ba'isin gimel sadois, if the field was one of those three fields that are specifically designated for ksuba, such as achash akasab labiksubasa, it was his field that he specifically wrote into the ksuba. Or, it was his field that he designated in the presence of Edom for her to collect the ksuba. Or, it was her field that was assessed and written into the ksuba, and her husband acquires all rights to them while they are married, and if he dies or divorces, the field must be returned to her. In these three fields, the husband's raya is not valid proof of ownership, and in these three fields of a third person, lokach min ha'ish, b'chaz of lokach min ha'isha, mekhe batl, because as Rashbam explains, daita samcha layu tvei. She primarily depends on these fields for ksuba above all his other fields, and therefore vade legamer v'aknaya. She certainly did not consent to the sale. And even though she did write a shtar, we assume nachas ruch ha'sisa labayli. And regarding Shar Nechasim, the husband's other fields, we also say Mekhe Batl, because Kol Shekin Dehavi Le'eva De'amar La'i Necha Nesata Begerishin Le'bemisa. Since all his fields are mortgaged for Aksuba, if she would refuse the sale, this would cause animosity between them, as he assumes that she's waiting for him to either die or divorce her so that she can acquire these fields. Therefore, even though she did write Ishtar, we assume that Nachas Ruch HaSisi Le'bayli. However, regarding Nechsi Miluk, if it was her field that was not assessed and written into the ksuba, and which remains in her possession, and the husband really has the rights to its payers, here our Mishnah holds that the husband's raya of ishtar is valid proof of ownership. And in these fields of a third person, lokach min ish, v'chazav lokach min isha, mekhoi kayim, the sale is effective. Because kivin d'shalohein, ein the yigur mibala, v'chayil limchis labala shaloi timker. Since these fields belong completely to her, she's not afraid of her husband, and she would certainly have objected if she did not agree to the sale. The Gemara now proceeds with a discussion regarding Nichsei Milug and asks as follows. Our mission implies that regarding Nichsei Milug, Haraya Yesh Le'ish B'Nichsei Ishtai. If the husband has the proof of Ishtar that his wife sold him her field, this is valid proof of ownership and the sale was effective. Whereas a Meimra says, Ish V'Isha Shemachrin B'Nichsei Milug, Le'osav Le'klum. If either the husband or wife sold the Nichsei Milug, the sale is not effective. The Gemara offers two explanations. A maim refers to where only one of them sold the field. Either the zaban ihu umis, asihi amafka. The husband sold his rights to the produce of the field to someone else without his wife's permission. If he dies before his wife, she can extract the field from the buyer because it belongs to her. Or zavne ihi vamesa, asihu amapik betekante drabanan. The wife sold the field to someone else without her husband's permission. If she dies before her husband, he can extract the field from the buyer based on a takanas usha. In both these cases, la'asav la'klum, each can extract the field from the buyer because the field was sold without the other's permission. However, if the zvinu tarvayu le'alma, if the husband and wife jointly sold the field to someone else, or as in our Mishnah's case, zavne ihi l'didei, the wife sold the field to the husband, zvina zvini, the sale is effective because the field was sold with the permission of both. In the second explanation, the Gemara explains that a meima may refer even to the zvinu tarvayu le'alma, or zavne ihi l'didei. And this is actually machlokes. Our Mishnah holds zvina zvini because the field was sold with the permission of both. While our Meimah holds la'asav la'klum because as the Rashbam explains, kivin she'ina miyuchid, lo'y le'ish v'lo'y le'isha, ina karis sada ha'ish v'lo'y sada ha'isha. Since each one has only partial ownership in the field, the wife only owns kinyan haguf, the actual field, while the husband only owns kinyan peiros, the rights to the produce, they are not considered owners of the field and therefore cannot sell it even together. And Amimer bases his opinion on Rebbe Elazar's opinion in the Braisa regarding a case of Amichas Avdai, Upasak Amoyshe Shemshenu Shleishim Yom. If someone sold his slave and stipulated that he must continue to work for him for 30 days, the Lekeach has the Kinyan Haguf, he owns the actual slave, and the Amichas has the Kinyan Peiros, he owns the rights to all benefits of the slave. Now, the Braisa cites four opinions as to the slave's status regarding the halacha of Yom or Yomayim. One is not liable for killing his slave if the slave survived at least 24 hours after sustaining his injuries. Rebbe Elazar holds, Shneim einen bedin yomei yomayim, zelefi she'en etachtav, v'zelefi she'en ekaspoi. This leniency does not apply to either owner because the pasuk says, lo yukim ki kaspoi hu kaspoi hamayuchad loy. This halacha applies only to a slave which is the owner's exclusive property. Apparently, Rebbe Elazar holds that since each one has only partial ownership in the slave, they are not considered owners, therefore they do not have the leniency of Yoyim or Yomayim. The Gemara continues to discuss the Mishnah's halacha of V'loy le'isht chazaka b'nechse ishtai. The Mishnah implies, Ein etzvicha limchais bebala hoyel b'lesli chazaka. A wife does not even need to make him a chot to her husband occupying the field, because he cannot establish a chazaka anyway. The Gemara asks, V'homa rav yeshes ish tzvicha limchais. Rav says a married woman must make a machot to one who occupies her field. And this can refer only to the Baal, her husband, because regarding Acher, someone else, Rav says, Ein machzikim b'nechzi eshes ish. One cannot establish a chazaka in the property that belongs to a married woman, because as the Rashbam explains, Matzi amra, abali samachti shuyim chavi aru lekach shetakti. She can claim that she did not make a machot because she relied on her husband to make the machot. Apparently, Rav disagrees with the Mishnah and holds a husband can establish a chazaka in his wife's field. The Gemara offers two explanations that there is no machlokes. Bebal. Rav's halacha does refer to the husband. The husband transformed the land by digging pits and caves. In this case, tzricha limchis. The husband can establish a chazaka, for which the wife must make a macha, because lepeiris ishtabit levaloy lekakal karka. The husband only has the rights to the produce, but not to ruin the land, and therefore if he did so, this would establish a chazaka that he bought the land. While the Mishnah refers to achilas peiros, the husband only ate the produce but did not transform the land. In this case, ein etzricha limchis because ein ishte makpedis em yichla peiros shalei kedin. Or ba'achar. Rav's halacha does refer to a stranger. Ukegen she'ochlo mixes chazaka b'chaye habal, v'sholish la'achar misabal. He began to take all the produce while the husband was alive, and also for 3 years after the husband died. And he claims he bought the field from her husband who bought it from his wife, while she claims, Baal machra loy lepeiros. Her husband only sold him the produce, and therefore she did not require a macha. In this case, tzricha limchis, the stranger can establish a chazaka, for which the woman must make a macha, because he has a migui. Migui di'ibayu amar lei, ano zevinta minach, ki amala na me'at zevinta lei, v'zavne nehali mehaman. Since he could have made a superior claim that he bought the field from the wife after her husband died, for which he would be believed through his chazaka of 3 years, he's also believed with his inferior claim that he bought it from her husband, who had bought it from his wife.